What's the park district going to do with it? Make it a house?
Sitting by yourself over there, John? No Dermot to keep you company?
Wow. This might be a first. Only John and staff, not a single other person in the room.
Is something going on?
I don't know, is there?
Like, we have a member of the Fourth Estate here.
Yeah, we do.
The Fourth what?
I don't think the prairie qualifies as that. I mean, I appreciate it.
He said not another person in the room.
No, I said John's sitting here with staff and not another person in the room. Normally, at least he's got Dermot sitting with him so he could make fun of us.
I think he's here. I think he's just somewhere.
Maybe he's working on a big investigative piece in the lobby.
You know, years ago, Jonathan Lippman, anybody remember?
I do remember Jonathan Lippman.
He was after
There's
the
Dermot.
Pulitzer, and he was going to find it here. Bring him back.
That was Mike Wolf. Remember Mike Wolf?
Yes.
You know, the other one I still keep in touch with is Dave Heinzman. Remember Dave?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I did
oh,
a couple
yeah.
closes.
That regional, right?
I did a closing for Dave and his wife Alicia, I want to say, back when O'Malley was still alive. That's, you know.
Oh. Yeah.
He was Southtown.
Oh, it was Southtown.
Yeah, I haven't seen Dave now since O'Malley was alive, so that would have been 10 years ago. In fact, 11 years ago today, O'Malley died. Jim O'Malley? Yeah. Yeah.
That's a little creepy. The same day, today?
April 1st, yeah.
Who brought that up?
Yeah, in fact, Judge Felice and Judge Gauss were asking me to go up to his grave today, and they were going to go out to dinner. I'm like, I've got my civic duty. Huh? No, Felice and Mo were going, Gauss were going today to the gravesite for O'Malley, and then they were going to go out to dinner. They wanted me to go with them. I said I couldn't do it.
Remember these?
What's the date? He's a riot.
He is a riot.
Calendar, how are you?
Good, yourself?
Fine, thank you.
From 2000.
I'll have to tell you a story about when we used to always go out to dinner with, once every two or three months, a bunch of us would go out for dinner, and Felice is one of them. The new guy always had to sit next to Felice, and I'll tell you why when we're done.
Because he hits you.
He hits you.
Stay on his left side, he won't get hit.
He's always like, ah! He's always like, he laughs and punches you in the arm.
It's just got minutes.
There's one time we were at Morton's in Westchester, and Mo had to have me drive his six-shift car because he couldn't work his arm. I know him a little bit. I don't know him real well, but yeah.
I'm distracted, you know.
Yeah.
Very solid.
Yeah.
You guys have nothing to worry about him. You have nothing to worry about him.
No.
Did you have one in your line?
I got one on either side of my house.
Take it with you.
No, he wouldn't. I could arrange for us to get together with him.
No, somebody else is doing things tonight.
In fact, if you want, I'll get you the date. The Will County Bar Association golf outing. Judge Powers, Judge Rippey, Judge Carlson, they all come out to the Bridgeview Courthouse golf outing. So the Judge Powers was a divorce judge in Bridgeview, went to law school with the Judge
hey,
Powers,
what's up?
Who's in Illini. You met him.
Good, very good.
You were out with me and him.
So this is a great story.
So he said, let's go to their outing. So I'm buying a foursome. It was going to be me, Powers, and I think maybe Mo. I can have you
no,
be fourth
I
on that.
Would,
we'll grab Felice.
I never have one.
Yeah.
I had 2 years.
I want to say it's June 21st, but I'll get back to you on the date.
I got one from Kiwanis.
You good? It's good?
Finance, public safety, then rec.
Whatever.
Sure. Trustee Guerra?
Here.
Trustee Calandrello?
Here.
Trustee Carroll?
Here.
Finance, approval of minutes?
Mr. Chairman,
Mr.
I move to approve the minutes of the regular meeting of the Finance Committee of March 4th, 2019.
Second.
Any questions, comments, corrections? All in favor?
Aye.
And I'll abstain. I was not here that day.
Public safety approval of minutes.
Madam Chairman.
Trustee Calandrello.
I move to approve. Sooner or later, I'm going to get there.
I move to approve the regular meeting minutes of the Public Safety Committee of March 4th, 2019.
Second.
Speak into the microphone, please.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Abstain.
Aye.
Aye.
Mike, you abstain?
Yep. Was not here. Son's birthday. The clerk was flexing his statutory muscle is what it was, for the record.
I had one of those.
Yeah.
But you know it's not.
Chief, Rush is calling me.
Yes. Can we intercept this call?
Do you want to take it for me?
It seriously says Russia.
No collusion.
Up to special prosecutor started right away.
Disposal of certain seized vehicles at public auction.
Madam Chair.
Trustee Carroll.
Move to recommend that the Village Board to pass an ordinance entitled Ordinance Authorizing Disposal by Public Auction of Personal Property Vehicles Owned by the Village of Orland Park, Illinois.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
An ordinance amending Title 8, Chapter 1 of the Orland Park Village Code.
Chief.
Madam Chairman, we had this at last committee. We discovered we made a couple of errors on the sections, and we simply abandoned that one as we did it properly. This allows us, first of all, it brings the agent to align the full-timers, and second, it allows us to begin the program we've been talking about with taking some CSOs and others and putting them in the part-time academy. So we have to adjust the language. The prior language only allowed us to hire those who were already certified police officers, so we said that change a little bit of the language.
Okay, just clearing up. Any questions in the audience? There is none. Any questions from the committee?
Madam Chair.
Trustee Gondreau.
I move to recommend the Village Board to pass an ordinance entitled an ordinance amending Title 8, Chapter 1 of the Village Orland Park Village Code regarding part-time police officers.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
An ordinance amending Title 7, Chapter 1 of the Orland Park Village Code regard to business license administrative regulations.
Madam Chairman, this allows the village manager on a hearing to suspend the business license for any business that is found in violation of federal or state laws. We're talking about criminal investigations here largely, where businesses may be used as a front or drugs were sold out of it or different things like that from time to time we find it. So this will allow the village manager to conduct the hearing and revoke or suspend the business license.
Okay. Again, any questions from the committee? Chair will entertain a motion.
Madam Chair.
Trustee Carroll.
Move to recommend that the Village Board to pass an ordinance entitled an ordinance amending Title 7, Chapter 11 of the Orland Park Village Code in regard to business license administrative regulations.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
An ordinance amending Title 7, Chapter 14 of the Orland Park Village Code in regard to massage establishments.
Yes.
Chief.
During the past few years, we've all heard about human trafficking, and there's a large case down in Florida recently. Trafficking largely with agents. Over the past number of years, we have seen the same here in Orland Park, where Asian women are brought in and they're used for prostitution in the profession, so to speak, of massage therapy. We've had 7 arrests for it in the last several years for prostitution, along with numerous ordinance violations, violations of our ordinance, such as removing the bath towel over someone plus they're naked. It only happens in locations that have massage therapy only, and no other specialty that is regulated by the Illinois Department of Professional Regulation. There are 23 from the last business license summary. I had 23 locations that have massage therapy. 11 of those are massage therapy only. So this is an ordinance going forward that, and as you know, just last month, we did another undercover operation, a Thai massage where prostitution was occurring. There's been location, they changed the name, but the result is the same prostitution. So this is not going backwards for those that are massage therapy only. It's only going forward that you cannot open up a location for massage therapy only. It must be conducted as manless patients. And we had one reports here where the Asian woman we arrested had only been in the country about 2 weeks prior to our arrest. So it's obvious what's going on here, that these women are being brought here and used for it. So again, it would require that they have 2 licenses, not just 1 for massage therapy. Now we do background on any business that opens for massage therapy, but we only get the background on the owner. Then they bring in massage therapists. In any case, it has nothing that they didn't have massage therapy licenses in the end, in most cases. Obviously, if you're only here for 2 weeks, you don't have them. So the arrests take place, we issue numerous violations along with the prostitution arrest. Cook County has been very helpful. We can't use our own people. Cook County has been more than helpful with us to do the undercover work on these cases.
Okay. Any questions? There is no audience. Joe, could we notify the other 11 businesses that, was it 11 you said, that are existing, that their license is, you know, obviously safe, but that we're not issuing those, that type of license in the future?
Yeah, we can do that.
I think that might assure them that, you know, we're not trying to put them out of business.
Right.
We just have a purpose here. Any questions from the committee?
Madam Chair.
Trustee Carroll.
Yeah, I apologize for not getting to you sooner than today, Madam Chair. I just kind of caught this as I read through it closer yesterday evening. My only question for you, Madam Chair, and if you want to refer to the chief, is fine. I see that we have 23 current establishments, 11 of which are massage only. And in the last 5 years, we've had four massage only establishments that have led to prostitution arrests. My understanding in talking to some of, you know, attorneys that have dealt with similar things in other towns is that the employees, for lack of a better term, that have been doing these prostitution type services are not licensed massage therapists. And I think the chief even mentioned the ones that typically come in when they apply are not licensed. The ones that, I should say, when they first apply, they do have licensed technicians or massage therapists. Later on, they don't. My only concern is that half of our current businesses, looking at what the kind of business climate has been for this service, are massage only establishments. And seems like a small percentage of those over the last 5 years have had problems. I'm just wondering if there's a less intrusive way of handling this issue, like if you're going to be massage only, requiring monthly or quarterly or whatever them to submit a list of their employees and their state licensing number. Because clearly there are a number of establishments that are massage only that haven't gotten in trouble. And in talking to my wife and other people that go to massage places in the village, there clearly are establishments that are massage only that are reputable. So I'm just wondering if... Well, I know, but I'm saying going forward, if another opening came up in a strip mall and a massage-only place wanted to apply, if we passed this ordinance, they wouldn't be allowed to do so, even though it seems like the majority of the ones that have existed have not been in trouble. There have been some that were, but I'm just wondering if there's a way to do this that's less intrusive than just banning massage-only places. There clearly is a market for it, since we have 11 of our 23 in the village currently being massage-only. I'm just wondering if there's a way to do it that's less intrusive than completely banning them.
Trustee Carroll,
yes.
I should, I think, and the chief may have already spoken on this, but I believe the all the therapists that were in that location were licensed by the state.
They were.
The ones that were arrested were?
Yes, and chief, I don't know if you can speak a little bit more on that, but.
Some were not. It's a combination.
And isn't this what's going on in other communities, too, where they're requiring a second service? And it seems to me it would not be a real challenge for a business that wanted to open in town to add nails, a facial. I don't think that's that difficult to find people to expand their business.
Are nails something that require a state license? I don't know if they are.
Sure.
They do. So, estheticians, I think.
Estheticians, right.
They do require board licenses.
My understanding is in talking, because I know you know some people in massage therapy, Mr. Right. Lamargo, as do I. I've never heard of anyone that had a state license getting arrested for this. It may happen, but my understanding is if they do get arrested for it, their license is gone. So they're giving up their livelihood if they do it.
Exactly.
My understanding has been exactly what the chief was talking about when we're talking about human trafficking, where people come in that are not licensed and they're offering these illegal services.
And
are there?
Yeah.
Okay. But when we do the backgrounds, it's only for the owner. We don't know who they're bringing in as massage therapists after that. We do an annual inspection. Sometimes you find that a license or two for massage therapists, other times you don't.
Well, that's kind of what I'm wondering. Is there a way, before we go to this level or the nuclear option of banning this type of business, can we have something where we require them to, on a regular basis, give us a list of all their licensed massage therapists so that we can make sure that the employees there are, in fact, licensed? If that doesn't work, then we could at least say we tried it. Just a thought. It seems to me like we're potentially going to turn away some businesses that are reputable in order to attack the ones that are not.
I suspect if we had a true count of massage therapists in town from the Mario Tricochis of the world and the rest of them, I don't think we're hurting for a number of massage therapists in town. Will you
right.
be more familiar with
We have 23, it says here, and
well,
11 of them.
That's just for massage therapy.
Right.
I'm talking about those that are already included with other services.
No, but that's 12 have other services, 11 do not.
23 includes all.
Includes Mario Tricocci's of the world. Really?
That's what I'm saying. Half of the ones we have.
Small number.
Half of the ones we have now are massage only. That's why I'm concerned this is a little bit of a drastic measure.
Well, what do we could send this on to the board without a recommendation then? Trustee Calandrello?
I think that I was going to say I like to close it out before next month so we can get a clean break. So I think why don't we just forward it? I mean, my opinion would be, I think those are two good. Maybe we'll between now and next, just forward it on, and then we can figure out the less nuclear options. Mike was calling it.
Chief, do we know, were there any other towns that you talked to or had your staff talk to when you were putting this together that have something similar where they require proof of the licensees, or is it just this option if we don't like
this
what's going on?
Option I'm aware of.
Okay.
It could be out there.
Okay.
It's the only one we were aware of. We had heard about it. Had Attorney Fricker look at it, and we came up with this.
Seems to me, too, if we're going to do something like that where we're going to ask for the licensee's names and license number and that type of thing, we're putting more of a burden on our own staff to pursue
True.
That. So then there would have to be additional costs involved for that business license. Somehow we have to figure out the time that's invested in that. And please.
Well, that could be a solution as well. If someone wants to open a massage only, they have the option of doing so, but the license is more expensive because of the encumbrances it's going to put on our staff, whereas if they add in one other licensed service, then they would bypass that. That's, you know, I'm just thinking, is there a way that we can protect? Because I know there's a place that my wife and her girlfriends go to in Tinley. All they offer is massage, and they say it's one of the best massage places in the area.
I mean, there is an extra level that you could put on, but I mean, it is a larger burden on those that have the, maybe if you want to just do this, for those that are just massage places, to be nationally board certified, which is more intensive schooling and continuing education credits that you need to obtain. I mean, it's in addition to the state license, it's nationally board certified. But
how many
that does
are
not
there?
Everybody's national board certified, though.
I was gonna say,
right.
Is that very common?
But if you wanted to, maybe they're just those massage only places, maybe you have that extra level of certification as opposed to the dual state licenses like a esthetician and massage.
No, I'm 100%.
I'm just trying to think
taking, of right, taking some step to stop the prostitution problem
right.
that has existed in the percentage of these facilities. I just don't want to launch a missile to kill a mouse, as the Supreme Court once said. If we can do something less, less cumbersome on the businesses where we would not prohibit one from coming in. Because there could be a very high scale, like Mr. Lamargo was talking about, very upscale massage-only place. They don't want to do nails. They don't want to do facials or whatever. I don't know, whatever else, other licenses there would be. But
is that very common?
I don't know.
That they're nationally board certified? The real good ones. No, I shouldn't say that. I mean, I don't know the exact answer to that.
Maybe you might.
But I do know that a lot of the more higher-end places would be board certified. But that's like, and it's kind of like having a bachelor's degree and a master's degree, is my understanding of how that works.
That would definitely
hurt some locations. And it's unfortunate that, you know, you got to couple knuckleheads that
but we regularly
put a bad name on.
Have a couple of knuckleheads.
Yeah.
It's as though they don't ever go out of business.
No.
They just change their name and
toddle
on down the street somehow.
Yeah.
Well, Madam Chair, if we did send it to the board with no recommendation, it would give all of us a little bit of time just to see are there other villages doing something different. I definitely want to do something. I'm with the Chief 100% on that. Just whether this has to be the step we need to take or whether there's a less intrusive step.
I can
especially since they're not here. Yeah. I heard them volunteer. I'm okay with more licensing fees if they want to go that route, and if they don't want to go that route, add another licensed service and they can avoid that extra regulatory fee.
And Chair will entertain a motion to send this to the board in 2 weeks without a recommendation.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Just for clarification,
if we could, yeah, that'd be great.
Yep.
Either through either through manager's notes, or you can put it almost into the packet for that night, or whatever's easiest.
Maybe have two alternatives, one.
Right.
And then one today's and one, the different option to increase the increase protections without completely eliminating it.
Right.
Parks and Rec, approval of minutes.
Mr. Chairman.
Trustee Carroll.
I move to approve the minutes of the regular meeting of the Parks and Recreation Committee of March 4th, 2019.
Second.
Any questions from the audience? Any questions from the press? Questions from the committee?
Sarah's audience.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Cinderella Ball.
Abstain on that, trust, Mr. Clerk.
So what you have before
you? Abstain on that one as well.
Okay.
So 2-1. Nancy.
Okay, so we have a dashboard in front of you regarding the Cinderella Ball overview. As you know, we had over 275 participants who joined us for the evening.
Thanks, Chief.
Of the highlights included meet and greets with Cinderella, the little girls dressed up like little princesses, the fathers were in tux or in suits. We had a bunch of activities for the parents. We had Waymire there who captured those moments along with their donation to the Treasure Chest Foundation Pediatric Oncology Unit, so it was a feel-good for everybody. Although it was initially positioned as a father-daughter dance, the event is seeing more of an increase in attracting moms and sons, as well as families and parents and other children, so we're looking at that to maybe do a father or a mother-son event in the future so we can balance both and really kind of treat the customer to what the intention of the event was. Some enhancements this year, we had a complimentary coat check service, which Trustee Gira was very helpful during that process. Again, to allow for quicker event access to enjoy the festivities. We repositioned the layout of the event as well to utilize the entire facility of the Cultural Center, so that was also well received. We secured sponsorships for the second consecutive year, which includes monetary and in-kind. And again, attendance has risen over the last couple years, which again increases our numbers, and we've also increased the fees to the event. You could see the budgeted revenue was $67.75, and the actual revenue we brought in was a little over $8,000. The expense budget was $59.13, and the actual expenses were $57.89. So we actually came out ahead $2,241 versus the $862. So it was a good event.
So just to kind of remind everyone, has it been 6 months already, Nancy, since we kind of been doing dashboards?
I know, it has.
One of the biggest, I feel like, lack of information we have is throughout the year, there are great programs that REC does. I mean, we say this is a great program, but to have a recap like this, so staff already does that. They kind of say what they did well, what they can do better throughout the year, but we don't really see it until budget time, and then it's kind of like all this new information about the programs. I know in the last couple of years, we've had 13 programs cut, and we're going back trying to gain ground on that, so we're just trying to show performance of our REC programs and what we can do better. We're thinking of them this way. When a budget comes, it's not like, oh, what's going on here? So I want to thank Nancy and her staff. I'm sure this is extra work that I gave them, but this is, I think, a good tool for us as trustees to know what's going on in a monthly basis instead of a yearly basis. Go ahead.
Chairman Kellinger, I just wanted to add a couple things. So first of all, sure, Nancy was hit, but we appreciate. I know Director Flores likes to brag about her staff and the great job that they do with that. But one thing that I would like Director Flores maybe at a future meeting really just to talk about all that goes into planning an event and the coordination that goes into planning an event, because I think sometimes what happens is that it looks so flawless because they've just really perfected it. That just to be able to give an appreciation. I mean, I know that, the three of you up there understand it, but just maybe to give our audience or the papers just a real good understanding as to really the hours and the meetings and the coordination, not only within the village, but outside the village as well. So if that's a possibility,
Certainly for Taste of Orland alone, we start planning for that event the day after it ends. We start working with the bands and start trying to book them because it's a very competitive market. These bands that we have for our main stage level, they book up within minutes, and Seventh Heaven, if we don't book with them right then and there, they'll be gone. They're out to another community. So it does take at least a year to really efficiently plan these types of events at this scale.
Mr. Chair.
Just care.
Yeah, I just wanted to also state that I like these dashboards. I know we get something similar when we do our annual recreation program part of the budget, but it's all thrown at us at once. And so unless we individually take the time to really dive into each of those in advance of that night's meeting, this kind of sporadic, a little bit at a time, is much easier to digest. And then if we do have questions or concerns or compliments, those can all be kind of factored in by you before we get to that budget process. So I think this is a great idea.
First of all, looking at the Bippity Boppity Boutique, I do love that. Do want to mention, I know at budget we were considering, Nancy had proposed a boys' night for the moms and their sons, and we didn't plan for this year on that.
Right.
That night there were boys that came with their moms in the Halloween, like superhero costumes.
Right.
And more and more, if you look on Facebook, you see the Lifetime Fitnesses of the world have both Cinderella night for the girls and the superheroes and other park districts around us. I think we're missing the boat by not finding some way to also include the little boys, you know, a different, maybe same night. I defer to the expert, which I am not, but it's a wonderful night and the kids have such a ball. But I, you know, as a mother of sons, I appreciate for the boys.
And yeah, that way the boys don't get stuck having to go to a Cinderella ball.
Yeah.
True.
Right.
Exactly. And there were a number of boys that
came.
And
we do have things for the prince to do, but yes, it's just really geared towards the girls. So we'll be bringing that forward this budget cycle to do something for the boys.
Yeah, I think we're missing the boat by not doing that. Yep. But great evening, as always.
Thank you.
Any questions from the audience, from the press? You asked me to ask, so I'm going to keep on asking, guys. All right.
He did not.
They did.
There's no way.
I swear they did.
You did? You wanted to be asked.
Consistently, it's over, under expense and over revenue.
But at the end of the day, rec programs, not about budget, it's about quality of life.
That's a bonus.
It's like breaking the fourth wall, or what do they call that thing? I don't know what it is.
Too many conversations.
I don't want to want that overview.
Okay. So Winter Wonderland Overview is a little bit different. It's not an event. It's similar to the pool is how I would compare it. It really depends on weather. If you have conditions that are too cold, like a polar vortex, it's going to drive the population down. If it's too warm, it's not cold enough to keep the ice hard. So a few things to look at here. You could see the skate rentals. I was feeling happy on this one because I said they enjoyed a 20% increase. So there was a 20% increase over 2017 season, which is good. Again, people could come to our ice rink and bring their own skates. So we're kind of unique that way. We're not tied to just renting ours or you don't get on the ice. Let's see. So in 2017, you know, we were heavily impacted by extreme cold, just as a footnote there. In November of 2018, and this is what we need to remember when we look at the ice rink as well, we're looking for the 2018 fiscal year. So we're looking at January and February of last year, and then November, December of this year, just as another note. So in November of 2018, the cost of skate rentals increased from $2 to $3 per rental. And the actual revenues, as you could see, exceeded revenues by $5,005 in 2018. That increase is approximately 67%. So what we noticed was during the budget process that approval to make those changes for the ice rink was approved by the board. So we didn't wait till January. We just activated them in November, December when we opened up. So with that being said, we also made the reductions that the board approved, and you could see there some of the ice rink operating expenditures by 34% were reduced from 2018 budget expenses. The largest reductions were in payroll and equipment. So you could see closing 1 hour earlier on weekdays, eliminated weekend bonfires, reducing weekday staffing to one manager and one skate guard, and eliminated special events. So that included the Skate with Santa and the turkey bowling. So Again, we activated that as well, just because we knew that was moving forward and approved by the board. So expenses for equipment were slightly reduced in 2018 with the reduction of equipment, such as helmets. We did order ice skates this year, and last year we started ordering hockey ice skates because we felt that the hockey ice skates were more durable and they lasted longer than the regular ice skates. We did not purchase helmets this year. So next year, we for 19, November, December coming up, we don't have any budget to purchase any equipment. So what we have is what we have. So again, you can see the budgeted revenue was $7,500 in 2018. The actual revenue was $12,505, and the budgeted expense was $21,657. And the actual expense, we were approximately $100 over at $21,718. The reason for that, again, is back in January and February last year, these cuts weren't proposed. So we had the business as usual. And then come November, December, we made the cuts. So we were projected to be at a loss of $9,000 when you look at the budgeted expenses and revenue. And we came, actually, we were budgeted to be at a loss of $14,000, excuse me. And we were at an actual of $9,000. So we were able to shave $4,944 off the expenditures there for the net.
Any questions from the board?
Yeah, I have one.
Trustee Garrett.
Do we have those? I've seen them at roller skating rinks. They're essentially like a little walker, but
we
for
do.
Children?
We do. We've had those out there.
And they just, it's like training wheels
yes.
for ice skaters.
Yes.
Okay, because I think they're very, they're cute when I've seen them in use. They don't make them big enough
just
for me.
Just not for children. They're just not made for children.
They're just kind of wondering, has there been a regular cycle for buying equipment, like every year spend X number of dollars
you know,
in the past?
We kind of, I can't speak to the years before, I don't know off the top of my head, but we kind of base it on usage of the equipment. If they're looking raggedy or they're falling apart, we do the best that we can to repair, but we replace them. One of the challenges we had this year that'll probably affect our budget when I do this wrap up next year is that the chillers went down. So we were down about 2.5-3 weeks where we lost revenue, where the ice rink wasn't open. So when we do this recap coming up next year, you'll notice less revenue just because the chillers aren't working, the ice rink's not gonna stay hard.
Kind of like the pool again.
Yeah, if the sun's not out, exactly.
Any questions from, good job, Nancy, again, I think we keep on repeating ourselves. This is a great seeing these numbers, and again, it's not about dollars and cents necessarily, it's about reviewing and capping. Again, as I see my two directors in front of me, it's about quality of life, not budgetary gain or loss. Questions from the audience? Questions from the press?
You guys.
All right.
Motion to adjourn.
Nope, we got one more.
Oh,
we
do?
We got one more.
We do?
That's why I get
I already closed mine out. I thought
he did a
pay. Oh, yeah, there it is. That one. Oh, yeah.
19-009 Park Court Repairs Bid Award.
Mr. Chair.
Trustee Carroll
for
the last time.
Yeah, moved to recommend that the village, well, technically we might have committee next month, I was told.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, moved to recommend that the village board to award bid park court repairs 19-009 to U.S. Tennis of Lockport, Illinois, an amount not to exceed $130,310 mm-hmm. for specified repair work at Catchy and Brentwood Parks.
Second.
Gary, go ahead, tee it up.
On a side note, this did come in slightly under budget, so I will be able to get another smaller court repair in somewhere throughout the year. I'm just going to evaluate some of the other sites.
And Brentwood was a park we just redid, correct?
Correct. Correct. This will put the tennis court online as soon as the playground opens back up, as soon as I get temps. 50 degrees for a couple of overnights for the pour and play to set up.
Perfect. So improving one neighborhood park at a time, nice and slow. Any questions from the committee? From the audience? From the press?
It's a home run.
Give it to like two Mississippi before you go in, is it?
I look for nods.
Okay.
All right. If they're writing quickly, maybe they got something.
Gotcha.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. I can adjourn.
Before we do a motion, wait, do we have a committee?
No.
I was told that we may.
Well,
we may? Why? Who said that?
Mr. Lamargo did.
What's that?
That we may have committee next month on the 6th. Depending on certain factors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The night of the swearing in?
Yes.
All right. Well, just in case we don't, I want to thank both Trustee Carroll and Trustee Gira for the service on these committees.
As I was getting dressed today, I was thinking how I will not have, no matter what happens tomorrow, I'm not going to have either you to my left or to my right.
It's true. Yeah.
So as this is probably my last time as a chairperson over your committees, I want to thank you for all your services.
Thank you.
Trustee Garrett, I'll hold my really good remarks till later, but it's been an honor to be serving with you.
Likewise.
And I look forward to, I'm sure our relationship will continue after you become citizens.
By then, my beard will be this long.
Oh, really?
No.
Oh, Joe, sounds scary. Yeah.
And I guess I'm going to let you guys do the motion adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Out of being.
No, in fact, I even let it go like an eighth of an inch longer than this, and Jen started yelling at me. So now I trim it every day or two. I
can understand that.
Schedule it next week.
Yeah.